choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi, folks. Tune in every Saturday at 11 a.m. for the Relive Lifestyles program. I'm David Leeds. Hear from people throughout the country who have achieved tremendous control of their health and finances through the balanced nutritional products being offered by Relive International worldwide. Tune in every Saturday at 11 a.m. on WCNO for the Lifestyles program. More information is available at 1-888-871-8734.
5th Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Longtime pharmacists Blair Coolwin and Tom Bimbo, along with their dedicated staff, pride themselves on fast and friendly service, providing you a pharmacy experience with the personal touch that you deserve. 5th Street Pharmacy is located on the corner of Northwest 5th Street and 2nd Avenue, behind Napa Auto Parts. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they provide a drive-up window for your convenience.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I don't live to try to be happy. I live, my greatest joy, my fulfillment is living for the purpose and the glory and the pleasure of God.
I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. During our radio program last year, we were going through Pastor Bernard's message series on the book of Hosea before taking a break for the holiday season. In today's program, we're going to pick up where we left off with Pastor Bernard's discussion on Hosea chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. If you missed any of the previous programs, you can view the entire archive series on WCNO's website. Pastor Bernard's messages are also available at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship's website at cbfdelray.org. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today.
Hosea chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Turn unto thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Let's ask the most absolute, perfect, complete, flawless teacher to help us right now. And that's God's Spirit. I'm grateful that God did not leave us as orphans. God did not leave us down here, church, to try to figure it out on ourselves, because we can't figure it out on ourselves, especially when it comes down to God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's pray that the Spirit is the greatest influence for us right now, so we can follow the word of God. Lord God, we ask that you have placed us in a position to yield, submit to God, resist any interference, our humanity or something spiritual or diabolical. Resist this flesh, this nature. God, even help the body resist their call of their flesh to sleep and disengage and not connect. Because we are all prone to these weaknesses. You know our frame. You know we are dust. And you know the schedules that we've had to keep and that we're exercising in the course of the week. And it'll pick back up again. But God, we invite you to help us on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday. Lord, help us to come with hearts of urgency, a hunger to seek after you. Because you said in your word, those that hunger and seek after righteousness we be filled. Bless us in our study. Leave this piece of clay behind this podium. I cannot do this without you. And they can't listen, they can't receive without you. Soften hearts. Break the fallow ground. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. For you that are visiting for the first time, we've been going through what we call the majoring on the minors, studying the minor prophets. And we started with the first one, the book of Hosea, many weeks back. And then we find ourselves in chapter 12. And you know the story of Hosea and how he had that call from God to go and marry an immoral woman, an unfaithful woman, which would be a picture of an unfaithful nation, of an unfaithful nation that elected to engage and trust in the foreign alliances, making foreign alliances with other nations and believing and attributing their blessings to pagan deities like Baal and Ashtoreth, breaking all the commandments of God. And the prophet has this very tough assignment. Not only did he have to marry this woman that would definitely prove to be unfaithful to him, but again, he had to give the message to this nation called Israel. And now we're in chapter 12. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a couple statements again. Statements to help you with the lesson. Here's the statement I'm going to give you. Number one, Israel dines on the wind and is deeply rooted in daily deceit. Israel is dining or dines on the wind and is deeply rooted in daily deceit. What's that, Pastor? Well, look at verse 1. Right in verse 1, Ephraim, now Ephraim again, as we've already established, Ephraim is a tribe of Israel. It's the most popular, the most prosperous, filled, dominant, prominent tribe at this time. But instead of giving God the glory for their prominence and giving God the glory for the goodness in their life, they elected to, again, as the text will reveal, to dine and feed on futility. I love the imagery here. In the Old Testament, when we look at the Old Testament overall, if you're reading your Bible, the Old Testament has a way of painting pictures and creating an emotional response, but also creating a response for us to turn to God as he gives us this imagery and he gives us these pictures, but yet profound in truth. Greek, a little bit more complicated in the area, we see in the New Testament. But again, overall, the Old Testament has the ability to get us to see God and put our hands around him. And notice the imagery in the picture, feeding on the wind. Don't miss that. Ephraim feeds on the wind and follow out the east wind. He daily increased lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians and the oilers carried to Egypt. What is that? Feeding on the wind. Israel failed to see the futility of placing her faith and trusting in foreign alliances, specifically Assyria and Egypt. They failed to realize that you're wasting your time. There's no sense of security by trying to align yourself. And notice the language of God. God says, you trusting in those foreign nations. You're trusting in Egypt. You're trusting in Assyria. It's like you got your mouth wide open and the wind is blowing and you think your belly's going to be full. Now take your fork, take your napkin, let's go stand out there in the wind, let's open up my mouth real wide, and let's get a good fill of air. Not only is that a wasted exercise, it's a foolish exercise. What is God underscoring here? The foolishness. When you look to other places other than God for your help, the foolishness. It's when we try to trust family members and friends and politicians and all these different resources for help. And God says, why? That's, again, you're feeding in the wind. You see, again, you're feeding in the wind. And just like that old songwriter, God has something different. The answer, my friend, is not blowing in the wind. The answer is not in the wind. The answer is not in the government. The answer is not in Wall Street. The answer is not even with some churches. The answer that we need is from God. You're wasting your time. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we must not cook up, connect, engage with institutions or false religions that do not promote the principle or the veracity of the scriptures. If there's not a biblical-based direction that you're walking in, then you are refuting Almighty God. Did you know that? Do not trust in teachings and principles that are foreign to the Bible. How to make money, how to be successful, how to be a mover and shaker, how to gain. You know, all these principles and all these books, you go into Barnes and Noble, you go and research, even go on Google, you get all these articles, but all these articles, they don't seek to glorify God. They seek to glorify man. All these principles of the world, they do not promote a Christ-centered position. They promote a man-centered position. Let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you something, church. How good? How are you doing with that? When it comes down to your money, your resources, your family, and a direction, and our culture, and our nation, because we're so man-centered, guess what we have been rewarded? More trouble, more chaos, more confusion, more mayhem. Make all the prisons you want. Do whatever you can. Pour all the money into a program. Pour money in education, in resources, in an environment or a neighborhood. And guess what? Where's the change? Change can only happen from God. But even Christians, we got to be careful. And this is nothing new, you know. In the first century, Paul spoke to a church in Colossae. He said, hey, baby Christians or seasoned Christians, young and old alike, I need to warn you about something. Write the reference down, because we got time, we got to move on, we got communion. If Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul gave a warning to these first century believers. He said in Colossae, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. What's the source and how does it operate? How does it manifest itself? Well, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So if I'm going to start a church, or if I'm going to start a family, if I'm going to put myself in position for financial security, if I want to be a good steward, if I want to build any kind of relationship, it must start with Christ. Do you hear me? If it's not built on Christ-like principles, if it's not governed by the will and the purposes and the hearts of God, heart or our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, hey, don't build, don't follow, because the worldly principles don't follow after Christ. Why should we follow after Christ? Verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's that, preacher? If I want wisdom, if I want strength, if I want purpose, if I want security, if I want direction, if I want to be productive, I can find everything I need in God. Who believes that? Everything I need in God. Because in Christ Jesus, he was a full manifestation of God. And we are complete in him. That's why young people looking for completeness with a host of self-destructive behavior. More relationships, more drugs, more sex, more rebellion, more disconnect. Looking to get complete, looking to get complete, looking to be whole, looking to get there. You can't get your act together. You want to be completely healthy. You want to be completely fulfilled. I don't like to use that word happy because happy is just is so trivial to me. Happy is like a cloud. It comes and goes like a cloud. You guys know that? Happy also points too often to being self-centered. And people walk around and say, look at you, you're married? Oh, yeah. Are you happy? Are you happy at your job? Are you happy with your life? Partner, say to them, you know what? I know you mean well with that question. But I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I don't live to try to be happy. I live, my greatest joy, my fulfillment is living for the purpose and the glory and the pleasure of God. That should be our answer. So way back ancient Israel, Hosea the prophet is telling them, hey, don't be following the principles of the world. You're just feeding on the wind. And even in the first century, Paul said, hey, don't follow the principles and rudiments of this world. You're just feeding on the wind. A couple more thoughts about that wind. Did you know it's been said that when there's an east wind was not something you wanted to welcome or experience. And east wind, not only are they empty, but they're also dangerous and they're destructive. And the east wind, even today, interview someone in the Middle East where wind, east wind, in all countries, they're parching, wasteful, injurious wind that blows across the desert and make a barren wasteland. Not something you want to welcome. And God says, you got your mouth wide open, trying to get your belly full off the wind. What else do we see in verse that passage, what we see in verse 1? He mentioned about increasing in lies, and you're in desolation, and you made a contract, and you made a relationship with these foreign nations because you didn't trust me. You trust these foreign nations. I call it the lawlessness of let's make a deal. The lawlessness of let's make a deal. Anytime somebody pull you aside and say, let's sit down together and make a deal, be careful. What's behind it? What's their motivation? Let's make a deal? Or you say, you invite me to compromise? We have an objective. What's the goal in mind? Do you follow the narrative? The ends will justify the means? What is he talking about? Well, again, you turn and you Israel were filled with lies, negotiating, selling oil and negotiating and making deals and building contracts and making an alliance with these nations that didn't fear God. And usually when you're working with the world, guess what? You got to lie like the world. In order for you to make a deal, they're going to ask you to compromise. That again, instead of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, locked in their lying and their deceit, they began to supplant the sovereign Lord and replace him with people that couldn't help them. All these deals and all these payoffs, thinking that Assyria and Egypt would be more dependable than God. Let me give you a thought. It's always absurd, not just silly and foolish. It's absurd when we abandon the Almighty. It's absurd. Why would you follow somebody that can't help you? How foolish for you, Israel, to think that Assyria can help you. How foolish are we when we think that the government can take care of us? How foolish are we when we make alliances with people that don't have God in mind, but however, we trust them? Be careful, church. Be careful. The Lord says in verse 2, I also got a controversy with Judah, and I will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will I pay him back. That word controversy in the text, that word controversy basically means to strive. I have strife. I have a dispute. I want you to picture a courtroom. God says, you're in my court, and I'm levying a charge against you, Jacob. I'm levying a charge against you, Judah. I got an issue with you. Even though you're my lineage, I made you. I created you. I formed you. I made you a great nation. And you know what, Jacob? You are a people that used to draw near to me. However, now, I got to deal with you. I got to punish you. I got to discipline you according to your ways. And you, I got this charge against you. And guess what? You are found wanting. You are found guilty. Now, I don't know about you. If a man says I'm guilty, yeah, that guy with the black robe on, and they can go through the whole court process and go through the proceedings. And if a man says I'm guilty, all right, you can't, what you going to do to me? Okay, I'm guilty. Throw me in prison, take away my privileges, separate me from mainstream society. But when God says you're guilty, what can he do to you? What will he do? God says, here's the thing about God. He doesn't miss anything. You guys know that? And he saw the heart of the people of Israel. And he said, I didn't miss it. I see the sin in my own people, and I'm going to deal with them about it. I'm going to deal with them about it. Now, in verses 3 to 6, we move into our direction. Hosea now is going to give us a history lesson. Remember the title, Israel, Jacob yesterday, Israel today. Israel today, currently today, as a nation, have they holistically embraced their Yeshua? No. They too are also caught in deceit today. And what, in this context, what Hosea is doing, he said, let me give you guys a history lesson. Because you need to know something. That Israelite history, or even your history, is really about his story. It's about his story in our life. And he's going to remind them of that. God reminds Israel about their history, but it's really his story, how he brought them into existence. He gave them the prosperity. He gave them the posterity. He was the producer of Israel. And he takes a lesson from Jacob. Verses 3 to 6. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yes, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and then he spoke with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, and the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He took his brother by the heel. There's one Bible character that is infamous. When it came down to that birth, here was this lady. She's going to have twins, Jacob and Esau. You guys remember the story? And the Bible says that Jacob, even though he was the younger one, he grabbed his brother Esau by the heel. Imagine that struggle. Can you imagine? He's already coming into existence, coming into this world with a struggle. Indicative of his struggle with God that's going to happen later. Struggle. And in ancient Israel, there was a phrase called heel catcher. Heel catcher. You know what a heel catcher is? When they said heel catcher, that was a double dealer. Someone who achieved their goals through craft and deceit and manipulation. Yes, a heel catcher is a double dealer, very slick. Someone who achieved their goals through crafty and dishonest means. Let's put that in the current context. I'll give you a group of people, and a good number of them, they are heel catchers. Let me tell you about the present day heel catchers. You know who they are? They're basically those that practice the law and politicians and preachers. Because they're trying to establish a means, establish money, establish an empire, establish something where they glorify themselves and not God. I'm not saying all of them, but a good number of people, they're heel catchers today because they got a goal. This men that we elect, they have an objective and a goal. That's why it's important that we are aware and that we pay close attention. In Hosea day, they had him. So Jacob, his name being deceiver, Jacob will be just like his full Israel is just like Jacob. Israel right now is just like Jacob. They deal and they operate in dishonest means. So Hosea, through Hosea, God says, let me take you to your lesson. Grasping the heel, going behind one's back. That's another expression of the heel catcher. A person that is a heel catcher, they go behind back doors. They do things in dark, smoke-filled rooms. They make plans. They go behind your back in order to fool you and to trick you. Yes, if you just put up that cloth, and I got a cloth up here today, and if you reach out and touch the cloth, touch that cloth, God's gonna heal you. Just for $19.99, you can have that cloth. A heel catcher. Watch it. Well, I used to be this part of affiliation politically. I am on this part of political affiliation. Or I used to be at this kind of a church, and go to that kind of a church. But you know, I just want you to follow me and help me and stuff my pockets. Yes, I'm for you. I'm going to come into your community. I'm going to help you. But as soon as election day is over, you never see them. Pastor says, hey, I'm working on a building fund, and we need to advance the kingdom of God. And then years later, they're landing off their helicopter with their little jet. Heel catchers. Same today. In this context, Jacob was a heel catcher. But yet, God gave him mercy. Yet, he enjoyed the strength to fight and to persevere. Because he struggled with God. The prophet is recalling a struggle. Write the reference down. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 30. In Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 30, we know that Jacob wrestled with the man of God, wrestled with an angel. You guys know that story, right? And the Bible said he wrestled all night long, and then the angel had to cripple him, just howl, bam! I wish I was watching that match. Right, you know, the angel's probably just tolerating Jacob. Jacob was just wrestling, and then all of a sudden he begged and he wept and he asked for a blessing and he would not let go. Did you know sometimes when you come to God, there's things in your life you quit too early and you don't prevail like Jacob?
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, Jacob Yesterday, Israel Today. In today's program, Pastor Bernard challenged us to evaluate the people we allow to influence our lives. We encourage you to ask yourself, who influences you the most? Do the people you allow to influence you encourage you with the truth of Scripture? Or do they have their own agenda that is not honoring the Lord? We encourage you to make sure that the people who influence you are God-fearing people who honor the Lord. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.